Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Wellness Works with Centrea Dorsey of Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center, located at 1927 Park Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. And of course, you can also reach me at Body and Soul on Hawthorne Road or Silver Wellness Center at 7000 Security Boulevard. A couple of reminders, today is Wednesday, so on Wednesdays, you know that there is a jazz jam session at Home Slice, and that's the Home Slice on North Charles Street at 336 North Charles. And then also tomorrow at Terra Cafe, you also have a jam session with the Concord Jazz Project at 101 East 25th Street, that's Terra Cafe. So I hope to see you all out tonight and tomorrow. Tonight starts at 8 p.m., runs to 11. Tomorrow starts at 7 p.m. and runs to 10 p.m. So today I have a very special guest with me. His name is Dr. Warren Silver. He is his chiropractor. And I've been looking forward to speaking with him because in our community, there are a lot of myths associated still with chiropractic care. A lot of misinformation with people. And so we want to take the opportunity to clear some of those things up today if we're able. So hello, Dr. Silver. How are you?
Great, Cynthia. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to be my guest today. We want to remind everyone that if you have questions or comments, you can call in. The number is 646-668-2460. That's 646-668-2460. So, Dr. Silver, what got you started or thinking about considering taking on chiropractic care as a profession?
I'm sorry, we have some trio.
The short version.
I played high school football in my sophomore year. I tore the ligaments in my ankle during the game. I went to an orthopedist, went to rehab. I was out for the remainder of the season. Senior year of high school, had to do tryouts again. First day back on the field in tryouts, ran a pattern, planted my foot in one direction, ankle went one way, body went another way, tore the ligaments again. And the doctors told me that, if I would tear the ligaments again, it would require surgery. Needless to say, my football career was over.
Right.
As fate would have it, I was in my, it was after graduation, it was the summer between high school and college. I was just walking in the street in front of my house, stepped in a crack the wrong way, and heard a pop. And it was a Sunday, and I knew what had happened, had no desire to sit in the emergency room for several hours for them to tell me I tore the ligaments. My father had a friend who was a chiropractor. He took me into the office Sunday morning, but then I had a whole pair of crutches. And the chiropractor did the typical physical therapy, the ice, the muscle stim that I had previously twice before when I tore the ligaments. And this time, he did something different. He adjusted or realigned the bones in the ankle as well as the lower back, the bones in my low back. And inquisitively, I said, well, what are you doing and why are you doing it? Because I hadn't done twice before and no one had ever done this.
Right.
So for the ankle, he explained it very simply. The job of ligaments is to hold bone to bone. So if you tear ligaments and now the bones are not correctly aligned exactly where they're supposed to be, then healing is going to be slowed because, the bones are not in as close proximity as they should be. So that's why he did that. With regards to the bones of the low back, he explained that the reason why I kept tearing the ligaments is because I had a misalignment on my low back, had no low back pain. But remember, I was a football player. I was a jock. I was always in the weight. I was throwing around the weights. I mean, I was very heavy into lifting, but had no low back pain. But I had a misalignment, as you described, in the low back. And when you have misalignments of the spine, it affects how the nerves work. Mm-hmm. And the nerves, since they control our body, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that soon, the nerves in the low back control the muscles in the leg. And if those nerves were not sending the messages to the muscles in my legs as fast as they should be, so here you are on a football field, or for that matter, any kind of field, and if the muscles don't contract as quickly as they should, now the stress falls to the ligaments. So I'm 17 and a half, 18, made sense to me, made sense to my father. So he adjusted me, he realigned me, and then he said to me, okay, Juan, stand up and walk. I said, okay, pass me my crutch. He goes, no, stand up and walk. I looked at him, he was crazy, because I was clearly in a lot of pain, and this had happened twice before, and previously I had to be off my feet for anywhere from 4 to 5 days, you know, elevated ice, things like that. But, again, as it would have it, I did stand up with the help of the crutches, but I was able to put weight on my foot, and I limped out of the office as opposed to using both crutches and, you know, not putting any weight. So I started a program of chiropractic care. My rehab, my recovery the third time was much faster than the previous two times, and recognizing that following winter I did not get sick as I usually do with the strep or whatever it is, and the following spring my allergies cleared up, and I had been under chiropractic care throughout that time.
Okay.
And he explained that when the nervous system works better, your body works better.
Yeah.
So fortunately, I was in a place in my life where I said, this is cool, and I was able to study and learn why and how the body works, and that started my career in chiropractic.
Okay. And do you have any other background aside from chiropractic care?
Well, in undergrad, I had a degree in psychology, which is why I can sit and analyze you a little bit.
Okay.
And I was in college. I worked through college as a personal trainer, fitness instructor.
Uh-huh.
So I have a background in phys ed and things like that. But that's primarily, I was always fascinated with how the body works and how the body can perform and how the body can heal.
Okay. And then I asked about that because of the way I've observed you interact with your patients and even the way that you set up care, as you experienced yourself, as you mentioned. The chiropractic care you got from that doctor was different from care you had received from other doctors. And so that always has you question, well, what else is their experience as to why they chose to do things that way. And when you have a different background, you have more information on the body, you have more information on movement and movement techniques and movement through the plane, it affects how you interact and how you set up your care plan. So how have you benefited from your previous career choices and what you're doing now? How have you experienced the benefit of that?
I have a good appreciation for what my patients go through. Not only that, many years ago, I was also involved in a car accident and suffered a concussion and had a whiplash injury and had neck pain and headaches and pain radiating down my arm. By that time, I was already a practicing chiropractor, but, you know, as now a doctor, I sat in my chiropractor's office 3 times a week, waited like another patient, had my adjustments, did my therapy, had to do rehab. And in thinking about, well, why would something like this happen, thinking not too long afterwards, I recognized that it made me a better doctor. I have an appreciation for what people in pain go through. What is it like having to go to physical therapy and chiropractic 3 times a week, having to wait in a reception area, having to do home exercises and help your body heal. So I know what people go through. I don't take that for granted. And I have a great appreciation for the fact that people choose me as their doctor, as their chiropractor, and are willing to travel sometimes 45, 60 minutes to come see me. And I don't take that lightly. Fighting the traffic here in Baltimore, we don't have to tell everybody. I like to say, because I'm not, my accent may give it away, I'm not originally from Baltimore. I'm originally from New York. But I've been here now 22 years, and I like to say, well, you know, this traffic when it's raining, this traffic when there's snow, this traffic when the sun is out too bright, you know, when is there not traffic?
Right.
So I appreciate, you know, people spending their time, their energy, their money when they come to see me, and I don't take it lightly. So my chiropractic experience, I believe, helped forge who I am as a doctor, as a caring individual, knowing what people are going through, because I've been there.
Okay. And you mentioned I had my background in psychology. One of the things that when, even when I'm just wearing my shirt, I've had someone say, okay, I get the whole triangle, I get everything that's in, on that circle aside from the emotional health. What does chiropractic, how does that link with emotional health? Like, they really are trying to figure it out, like, that doesn't fit. So,
this is a 1 hour workshop that I will try to condense in 5 minutes.
Okay.
So, the when I lecture, you know, I talk about that regardless of the ailment that a person comes in with, regardless of your diagnosis, if I can make medicine boil it down very, very easy, there is only one cause for almost all disease. And when I talk, we're going to take genetics out of it right now, because the truth of the matter is only very few diseases are actually genetic. Cystic fibrosis is genetic. Down syndrome is genetic. Heart disease is not genetic, okay? Your parents may have had heart disease, and all your genes say is that you may be at a higher risk.
Right.
But if you avoid those lifestyle pitfalls, you're not going to have heart disease. Because you have the gene doesn't mean you're doomed for it. So only very few diseases are actually genetic. Everything else can be boiled down into one cause, and that's stress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people, when they hear stress, they're automatically thinking emotional stress.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that there are only three main sources of stress.
Mm-hmm.
One is obviously emotional.
Mm-hmm.
There's also physical or structural stress. An example would be being involved in an accident, having a sports-related injury, poor posture, improper ergonomics, sitting at your workstation, not having the right pillow or mattress.
Mm-hmm.
All those cause physical and structural stresses. Then there's also nutritional / chemical stress, and that is caused by either putting the wrong things into your body or not putting the right things into your body. And the interesting, the fascinating thing about how the body works is the body does not care where the stress is coming from. Physiologically, the response is exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's called a stress cascade, where certain things happen in a very specific sequence of events regardless of where the stress is coming from. So if we can summarize, there's one main cause of all most illnesses and diseases, and that's stress. And there are only three main sources, and they are physical stress, emotional stress, and nutritional stress. So that's why I came up with this triangle. We call it the triad of health as far as my logo. And the beauty about it is, and we go through this much more detail in the workshop, but that each one of those factors can affect and is affected by the other two. For example, we all know people, I'm sure, who are not happy and who are depressed. And you can just look at them and just see their face, see their posture, see how they walk, and know that there's something wrong with them. Versus someone who is very happy, who stands much more erect, has much more spring in their step, things like that. So emotional stress definitely has a physical manifestation on our body. And we know that emotional stress also takes a chemical role or stress in our body. That's why medicine turns to drugs to alter our brain's chemistry to have that emotional change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So emotions affect us nutritionally or chemically as well as structurally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we now flip that around and say, okay, how can those other two, meaning how can structural and nutritional affect us emotionally, well, those studies have already been done. We know that exercise can change our emotional state. In fact, I know from way back in school where I've had instructors tell us that if you want to change your emotion, change your motion. Motion affects emotion.
Very good.
Okay? And then not only that, you can change what you put into your body. You may change the foods that you eat.
Right.
You then change your body's chemistry as well as your brain chemistry.
Right.
So you can have a tremendous effect on your emotional well-being simply by changing your posture,
mm-hmm.
get some movement into your body, and changing what you eat.
Very good. Okay. So we've covered why you got into chiropractic. We've answered that question about emotion. So moving forward, what do you see yourself or your business doing over the next 5 years?
That's a very good question, and I often think about it as part of any good business plan. Any entrepreneur, any business owner always looks to the future and go, okay, what can I do to improve? Where do I see myself 5, 10 years from now? And I keep coming back to the same thing. I love what I do. I see myself doing exactly the same. And I think getting the message out, such as what you're doing, and I'm floored by the fact that you can, we've known each other now for a while. And you are a great therapist, and I know that from personal experience. I have felt it be your healing hand, and from what patients report about you. But this is phenomenal that you have this kind of form. So getting the message out and speaking the truth, I don't do a whole lot of marketing. You know, my patients make my best advertising.
They are.
You know? So you won't see me a lot in print ad or anything like that because, you know, there's no greater compliment than, you know, than a person.
A referral.
Mm-hmm. So I educate. And when people see the changes that go on in their health and well-being, they spread the word. So I see myself doing exactly the same thing that I'm doing now. I love what I do. I love being around people. I love helping people and sharing the benefits of chiropractic.
Okay. And with that in mind, and that's a great explanation, we talked about franchising when we were just talking in general. Like you mentioned that's not something like to do or see as being effective for your brand. Could you explain to the people why you don't see that as
effective? Well, excellent question. And I've thought about this in the past as well, about the franchising, opening up multiple offices, things like that. You know, there's only one of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are many different, you know, there are many chiropractic offices already out.
Mm-hmm.
To try and replicate, you know, what I do, I have a certain background, I have a certain experience based on me being a patient since I'm 16, 17 years old. I have the nutrition enzyme training, whether we get to that today or maybe that may be another topic for another day, that's fine. I'm not sure that other people can replicate that. And I don't mean that as being egotistical.
Right.
People come because of who we are. You, me, the other staff here, the energy that we provide to this place, it's not something you can just replicate like a Dunkin' Donuts or a Burger King where it's the same formula that people can just, you know, throw into a cup or throw into a burger and you have the same experience regardless of which facility you go to. We like to think that we offer a very unique experience here because of the staff involved that I'm not sure can necessarily be replicated. So I can teach someone how to do the procedures, but it doesn't mean that a person going to that office is going to experience the same experience that they have here. So that's not a franchise kind of a thing.
Yeah. And that's a great, very good thing to keep in mind and consider. Speaking of which, so like just last night, my husband and I went to Molly Fresh. Speaking of franchises, as far as customer experience is concerned, one person was checking everyone out when we went through the line. And when we sat down to eat, I was observing the end of the line. And they switched out. The end of the line, the atmosphere, for lack of a better word, changed. It was warmer. You know, so like you said, you cannot replicate, because you cannot replicate that individual to keep the experience the same way. So what advice would you have for people who maybe were considering franchising but didn't think about that part as to why they are attracting the people they're attracting, how they can see you attracting that, and how it may not happen?
Well, you know, from a business perspective, from a business person, and you know, I've been a chiropractor for 25 years. I've owned my own practice for 22 of those years. I actually worked for my chiropractor. You know, he got me to go to school, and when I said, you know, 6 months, I said, okay, doc, I need a job. So I worked for him for 3 years before moving here to Maryland. But I guess it all depends on what your product or services is. You know, if you're offering a product, it's easy, and what I mean by product, you know, I mean something, a tangible product,
yeah.
Whether it be consumable or otherwise, that can be replicated.
Right.
Service is a little bit more different, because service is a little bit more unique, at least in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, and again, my only business experience is that of owning and operating a chiropractic / health and wellness center, so
right.
I can't say that I have experience in any other kinds of industry.
Right.
But in my mind, it's if you're delivering some kind of service, and that service is contingent on who you are, how do you replicate that?
Sure. Right. So I want you guys to really think about that, because I know I've had some conversations with others, and you all did speak on possibly expanding. But maybe look more at that network model that we were talking about, as opposed to trying to franchise, because you cannot replicate yourself. You cannot replicate those relationships that are built and established with your customers through other people.
Right.
Keep that in mind. Okay. Let's see here. You did mention about your products, and I wasn't going to touch on that today. But since we did, you did touch on nutrition
mm-hmm.
earlier. So let's go on ahead and speak about your experience with enzymes and digestion. And
we're really loading this up today, aren't we? So I always had a fascination with nutrition, you know, from the days that I was from high school, in terms of lifting, in terms of exercising, in terms of then becoming a personal trainer. Nutrition always interested me. And then when I became a chiropractor, I always felt that the body heals with the nutrients that we provide.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that we don't get sick because our body is lacking a drug.
Right.
And therefore, drugs and or medicine don't help the body heal. They may minimize or try to eliminate symptoms, but they do nothing for the healing process. Ultimately, the body has to heal. And that will come back to the chiropractic in a minute as well. So recognizing that if the body needs certain nutrients to heal, and every body part has different nutritional requirements. For example, your skin cells have different nutritional requirements than your bone cells, different from your heart cells, different from your hair cells, different from your eyeball cells. Each part of your body has different nutritional requirements. So recognizing that the body requires nutrition to heal, so I turned to nutrition, particularly vitamin supplements, because I also recognize that the soil today is very different than the soil of 100 years ago.
Yes,
you know, and when people look at me, I say to them, you can do a very easy experiment. If you've ever had the experience of growing your own tomato in your backyard or in your house, whatever it is, and you take that and you cut it open and you look at it and you tasted it, does it not smell and taste different than the tomato that you buy in the store?
Yeah.
Drastically different. Well, why is that? You know, they're both tomatoes, but clearly there's a difference. Picking our fruits and vegetables mostly before they're ripe.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they're ripening off the vine.
Mm-hmm.
So if a fruit or vegetable is ripening off the vine when you've detached it from its nutritional source,
right.
Besides the fact that our soil has been depleted of nutrients to begin with, but now you're ripening something that has been detached from how much nutrients does it actually have?
Right.
So even if you were to eat healthfully, and, you know, how many vitamins are you getting in a bag of carrots versus taking a supplement to not replace but supplement a good healthy diet? So I became a very big believer in nutritional supplements, and they're all not created equal, and we can't get into that right now. But I recognized relatively early in my career that for some of my patients, we were getting great results. For some of them, we were getting poor results. For some of them, we were getting zero results. It was very frustrating for me. And at a conference, I met a doctor, an acquaintance of mine, who later became a very close friend and mentor of mine. And he said to me, he said, Warren, what you're actually doing is you're practicing, and this floored me, practicing nutritional pharmacology. And what do you mean by that? Well, typically when you go to your medical doctor and you present to him or her a list of symptoms, he's going to prescribe a particular medicine based on those list of symptoms. If you have a different list of symptoms, he's going to be prescribing something else. So medicine is based on a symptom list and a drug for that list of symptoms. What I was doing was I was making a nutritional recommendation based on how a patient was presenting. Just like medicine, if you take 10 people that present with exactly the same symptoms and you give them the same exact medication, some of them are going to feel better, some of them won't, some of them are actually going to get worse because they're having a side effect of that drug.
Right.
So it's not the drug that is affecting the symptoms, it's how their body is dealing with it.
Right.
And it's no different with vitamins. Not the necessary the lack of the vitamin or trying to take it. It's how does the body deal and process that particular vitamin. So this friend of mine explained to me, well, it's great to take vitamins, but just because you take something, just because you doesn't mean your body's able to digest and absorb it.
Right.
So he introduced me to enzymes, which have many different functions in our body. And very quickly, there are three main kinds of enzymes. One is naturally occurring enzymes found in live food, whole food, fruits and vegetables. There are digestive enzymes, and then there are metabolic enzymes, which are the enzymes that literally run and control our immune system and our body. Anytime a white blood cell has to fight off an infection, it's using enzymes to gobble up and destroy that virus and bacteria. So enzymes literally control our entire body. Vitamins, believe it or not, I come to learn that they don't do any work in our body. Vitamins are called coenzymes. That's what they're known as. The body uses the vitamins to produce enzymes. So when you're operating at a nutritional deficiency or a vitamin deficiency, you're lacking certain enzymes to perform the specific duties that the body needs. So I started to delve into enzymes and recognize that when I switched my nutritional practice from focusing on vitamins to focusing on enzyme deficiencies, the results just skyrocket.
Now, yes, and I could, well, we're not going to do that, but yes, you know how my mind works to a degree,
right.
So yeah, I'm ready for development because that's me.
We'll schedule another
because that really could go like a whole hour and some change by itself. So, okay. I'm really a little confused as to why we don't have anybody calling in with any questions. I'm going to assume that we're answering your questions as we go along. And, of course, you can always inbox me with any questions that you have from this segment, and I will pass that along, and we will address it on the next time that Dr. Silver joins us. So remember that you can inbox me or you can inbox him. He does have a Facebook page that is listed on my page, so just go look for him, okay, if you have any questions directly.
Can I ask you some questions?
Sure, Dr. Silver.
So as part of the intro, you said something to the effect conception.
Mm-hmm.
What have you heard? What have, because I've probably heard them all.
I'm sure.
But what have you heard, or what do you think your listeners have voiced to you about some of the myths, misconceptions about chiropractic that you'd like to clear up?
Well, the two things that come up the most is one, how can an adjustment make me better? So you've already answered that question. And then the second thing, which is, it's not even so much the questions I'm finding, mm-hmm. it's just a distrust. Because it's not traditional medicine.
Right.
And we've all been conditioned
right.
that Western medicine is the only medicine, so to speak.
Let's address
chiropractic, if not even Eastern, it was
correct.
Here
correct.
That it was established.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Okay. So let's back up to really the first part,
mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, how does an adjustment really help? Because I think that's worth delving into just a little bit more.
Okay.
You know, when I lecture and I teach patients, really what is chiropractic? Because we haven't really talked about really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about stress. We talked about, you know, the body responds exactly the same way with regards to physical, nutritional, emotional. But let's talk about the structural stress.
Mm-hmm.
There are five basic components to understanding what chiropractic is. And these are what I call my truths.
Okay?
Truth number one, and these are irrefutable.
Okay?
Truth number one, your brain and nervous system control everything that goes on in your body. Everything is controlled. Everything. Your immune system, your heart, your breathing, your digestion. Everything is controlled by your brain and nervous system. Truth number one.
Mm-hmm.
Truth number two, the brain communicates with the body through the nerves. And if something were to interfere with that transmission, do you think one would be healthier or sicker?
Sicker, if there's something interfering.
Right. You think that they would heal faster or slower?
Slower.
Okay. So truth number two is that the brain communicates with the body through the nervous system, and the nervous system is protected and housed within the spinal column. Chiropractors are back doctors, not because we treat back pain.
Right.
We're back doctors because we focus on the backbone.
Right.
That's where you gain access to the nervous system.
Right.
Okay? So if there were to be a misalignment of the structures of the spine, that would interfere with the nerve transmission. Okay, that's truth number three. Misalignments of the spine interfere with the nervous system. Truth number four, removing that interference restores communication between brain and body.
Mm-hmm.
And if that communication is restored, will a person heal faster or slower? Faster.
Mm-hmm.
Truth number five, the job of the chiropractor is simply to find and remove that nerve interference. Chiropractors do not heal or cure anything.
Right.
What we do is we allow the natural, innate, inborn healing capabilities that your body has. You know, when you cut your finger and you put a Band-Aid on it, what makes new skin? The Band-Aid or the body? The body's supposed to. Now, God forbid if you break a bone, so, you know, you need a little bit more help, you need to put a cast on it. But again, what mends that bone? The cast or the body does? So the body has the ability to heal. You just need to give it the opportunity by, A, allowing the nervous system to work at peak efficiency and providing the body the nutrients that it needs to rebuild those building blocks.
So a lot of the things that you just said are a lot of things that we were taught and or was spoken to us in massage school by our instructors. You know, people will say, some people might call you a healer or whatever the case may be, but they're like, you're just assisting the body and doing what it wants to do anyway, which is to heal and restore itself, get back to natural function, get back to homeostasis.
Right.
So as you were speaking about misalignment in regards to the body being able to send messages, you know, I was thinking about craniosacral therapy and how the whole point of that therapy is to find the spot that are missing the flow, what we call a cranial rhythm. And those areas that are missing the cranial rhythm, those are the areas that you sit and you do a muscle release, a soft tissue release, to get the messages through. But I'm thinking also, well, then, maybe at the end of the session, I should tell that person, refer that person to a chiropractor also, because just because we release the tight muscle doesn't mean that that muscle may not have pulled a bone out of place, and that's going to come back at the end of the week, possibly.
So you bring up a very valid point, because I have a lot. Well, what's the difference between chiropractic and physical therapy? And the truth of the matter is, in this office, we do both.
Right.
Well, why? So people need to understand, and doctors need to understand. I'm surprised, and sometimes I'm flabbergasted that they don't even get this, that it's not two separate systems. It's not a muscular system and a skeletal. It's one system. Every muscle in your body is attached to a bone.
Yes.
Every bone has muscle attached to it.
Yes.
So which came first, the chicken or the egg? Was it a muscular problem first, or was it a bone skeletal problem? The truth of the matter is, from my perspective, I don't care, because I'm going to address both at the same time, because just like you said, you may work on relaxing and stretching the muscle, but if there's already an alignment, misalignment problem, or an alignment problem there, or misalignment, well, if that isn't also corrected, you haven't properly read that flow to allow the body to, and there are some chiropractors who I argue this point who only adjust, I mean realign, but don't do any additional muscle work, and I go, well, if those muscles are so tight, as soon as that person walks out of your office, those tight muscles are pulling things right back out of alignment again. So that's why my personal philosophy is we do both, to allow as much healing to take place in as short of time as possible. But that's a very valid point. Yes, you do it for Eagle Seiko, and I'm a big fan, and some of it ourselves here, and it's a little different than what you do it. But, yeah, you know, following up with an adjustment to make sure that that flow is as open and complete as possible, to me, just makes sense.
Right. That was just like, I don't know, it's one of those things like, okay, light bulb moment.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I do refer people for chiropractic care, but that was just a moment that it hit me, like, that is specific central nervous system. And then, of course, chiropractic is for central nervous system. So that just makes sense for them to go together. And you just mentioned about part of the way your office is set up, how it's structured as far as operation. Could you give us a little more detail on that, how if I were a new patient coming into your office, what would that look like for me when I came in?
So obviously we go through a detailed history in terms of, you know, what complaints the person has. We talk, there's usually a video that, a cute little video that they watch so they understand a little bit more about chiropractic. The kind of exam that we put them through involves some pretty cool technology. We're actually measuring, we talked about how important the nervous system is. Well, how do we know how well that's working?
Right.
So technology exists where we can actually measure how well the nervous system is functioning, measuring nerve pressure, nerve stress. These tests don't involve any kind of radiation exposure. There are no needles. You've gone through it, okay?
Yes.
And it's a way of getting a baseline reading how much stress the body's under. We also take x-rays when necessary so we can see if there's any damage that's going on fine and what their structure actually looks like. We scan their feet, looking at their posture to see if they need any additional support in their shoes to help, provide a more foundation for their posture. And then once we have all the funds, you make recommendations in terms of combining both physical therapy and chiropractic. Obviously, we have phenomenal massage therapists. And we have an exercise room for rehab so that they can work on, once there's enough healing that they can place, then we can work on strengthening. You know, I personally am not a fan of just starting exercise immediately, because if you're strengthening an already, if you try to strengthen or exercise an already injured or damaged joint or muscle, you're just going to continue to irritate. And if you already have an improper alignment, an improper structure, trying to strengthen that just supports that in an improper way.
Yes.
So we go through different phases and stages of care working up to that point of, you know, strengthening so that they run the risk of minimizing this happening.
Right.
And that's also, I get this a lot, you know, I've heard, I don't know if you have, you know, once you go to chiropractic, you always have to go.
That's
you
what,
that?
Yes.
Not true.
And since I've been here, I've seen that for myself. It's not something that you always have to do. And a big part of that is maintaining the good information and the good habits that have been poured
clarify that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Patients don't have to go.
True.
They choose to go.
Right.
Why? You know, I'm sure that, you know, we were all 4 or 5 years old when we saw our dentist.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I was at my dentist, and I'm not embarrassed to say I'm 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, those dentists, what a racket.
Mm-hmm.
They keep me coming back.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a dentist for 45 years.
Yeah.
Well, no one ever said that about dentistry. You know, you go periodically for checkups.
Sure.
You don't go necessarily or only when you're two-thirds.
Sure.
Right? You go for a period, and they x-ray you, and they check your teeth, and they do the cleanings, and it's preventative. You do things.
Right.
You know, you have to go periodically to very different kinds of doctors, whether it be an eye doctor or a cardiologist, or women go to their OBs, and, you know, GYN doctors periodically
right.
for health reasons.
Right.
Now, what does someone do? Now, we're all taught to brush
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis, and what do you think would happen if you didn't brush your teeth every day? You'd have to buy a dentist more often.
Yes.
Right? So what do we do on a daily basis to take care of our spines and our health and our structure? You
right.
know, are we eating properly? Are we managing our emotional stress?
Right.
Are we staying out of the soft armchair for several hours a day watching the internet with a beer in our hand?
Right.
So what are we doing? Are we exercising enough?
Right.
So if someone is living an otherwise healthy lifestyle, taking all those three components, physical structure, physical, meaning structural, emotional, and nutritional aspects, then they only need to go to the chiropractor several times a year just for general checkup.
Right.
But those who are constantly under stress, they realize that this is an important part of an overall healthy lifestyle. They're not going because they're in pain.
True.
You know, they're going for help. Yeah. I mean, how many healthy meals do you have to eat before you don't have to eat healthy?
Well, that's the maintenance thing.
Right.
Always.
How many times do you brush your teeth before you don't have to brush them?
Always.
You're always. So when you have the perspective of once the person is out of pain or
mm-hmm.
has recovered from whatever the ailment is, many, once they understand what chiropractic really is and allowing the body to function at its highest, most optimal peak efficiency, they choose chiropractic
yes.
as part of an overall healthy wellness lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they have to, they want to.
Right. But that's back to the education again.
Yes.
Understanding what it is, why you're doing it, how it applies to you. Again, and I'll use massage because that's what I'm most familiar with. And just my own experiences with chiropractic. Also, before I came to work with you, I was getting chiropractic care, probably around 2009, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that choice to continue to get maintenance because I saw it just as I see massage, and that is, I always use the analogy of getting your oil changed in your car.
Right.
If you're going to take the time to get the oil changed in your car because you want it to run smoothly and efficiently, why don't you do that for your body? You know, so I'm not asking you to come back to get this massage to line my pocket. I'm asking you to come back to get this massage to keep your oil clean
right.
and your body running smoothly. And there are guests that I tell them, I touch them and I'm like, if you choose, I really don't need to see you more than 4 times out the year because your lifestyle is such.
Right.
There's nothing other than me helping you maybe lengthen a little bit more or just relax you for your next event or whatever it is you're doing because they're there. You know, they're few and far, very far in between. But there are people that are like that, and there are other people, as you say, they might need to come every week, you know, until they get it under control. And then there's others who just need to come every month, and that is your maintenance cycle. So I think it's learning your body, learning to listen to your body, and I'm sure you find that people don't do that enough. So we're going to end with, do you have anything else you'd like to share with the people before we close out today?
This was great. I'd love to come back and talk some more.
Okay, so Dr. Silva, thank you for coming on today. And people, again, remember to inbox me if you have any questions you would like for Dr. Silva to address in the future, or just come on and you can ask him yourself the next time that we air. And again, this is Centrea with Wellness Works, and we will see you next time. Look out for my post.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Dude.